Hey everyone, welcome to It's a Brook Story,
a podcast by two lifelong Yankee fans about all things Yankees.
All right, so obviously a big trade happened last night. I know it kind of shocked MLB and Yankees Twitter completely because no one saw it coming, and that seems like how a lot of the trades are working nowadays, because or with the Yankees, like Rizzo's trade, I think it goes from you don't see it at all to it happened. Mm-hmm. So just a breakdown of the trade. We traded away Gary Sanchez and Gio Urshela to the Twins and got Josh Donaldson, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, and how do you say his name again? The catcher.
I'm not even completely sure how you pronounce it. I think it's Wortvit. I can't.
Rourke fart or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. We'll just call him the new catcher.
Yeah, the Twins catcher. So yeah, that it's a very confusing trade. And
so when I first saw it, it just said Donaldson and Isaiah Kiner-Falefa was traded to the Yankees. I didn't know who was going to the Twins, but immediate reaction, I was like, interesting, I like it. And then I heard who was going, and then immediately I just got emotional. I was like, I hate this trade. Like, it's a confusing trade just hearing it out loud, just because there was no prospects involved. It was just all major league players, and you don't really see a trade like this go down. Like, I don't think I've seen a trade like this go down. It seems like a MLB the Show trade, where it's just like, it's just a random trade that happened. And like you said, yeah, like no one saw this coming. It just like ninjas in the Yankees front office. It's just boom, trade happens. So I don't think anyone had Donaldson going to the Yankees, especially after the Twins just traded for Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. Like no one had him just on the move, 24 hours later?
I think it was like, yeah, they posted a picture of him and with Rocco Baldelli, and then traded him like 8 hours later.
Really?
I think that's fun. And it's my initial reaction was completely hating the trade because I love Gary and Gio. Mm-hmm. Like they're two players that have been huge staples to kind of like the new Yankees. Gary started all of it in 2016 with his insane start to his major league career, and Gio completely turned it around and started to hit and gave us a much needed third baseman after we had Chase Headley there for so long and Mickey got hurt. So there are two players that like have soft spots in a lot of Yankees fans' hearts. I know Gary Sanchez is a player a lot of people wanted gone, but a lot of people love him. So
he was polarizing, but it like I said in our last podcast, the catcher market is so thin that you just kind of have to deal with Gary Sanchez, love him or hate him. And
now a lot of Yankees fans are going to get what they wanted. We're going to have two defensive catchers, neither of them can hit, and you're going to get what everyone was saying you shouldn't want, because or not everyone, but a lot of people were like, Gary is a, even with how he hit last year, that's still better than like most catchers. So we're going to find out what a lot of teams have at the catcher position now. And that's just a black hole. And this trade is tough, because if you look at it, just pure statistical output, we won this trade based off last year. Like, obviously, I think it happened this year, but Donaldson had more WAR last year. Each Donaldson and Kiner-Falefa each had a higher WAR by themselves than Gary and Gio did combined, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that makes our team better. But then you factor in the fact that we're paying Josh Donaldson $50 million over 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes tough. That limits anything we can do free agency wise. Yeah, but now that I've had time to sit on the trade, I don't dislike the trade, but I don't necessarily love the trade. I think it could be a good trade if other things are done around it.
Yeah, I think it's a, the Yankees got better on the trade just on paper. I think it's kind of risky just the way it is, just because Josh Donaldson's kind of old. He's had a dead arm, he's always had calf injuries. Like, I remember last year, he had a calf injury the first game he played. So he's always an injury risk, but he is a better hitter and he is a better defender than Gio. So the Yankees definitely improved on their third base. If you're looking at just last year, how their infield defense was, they improved at third base and they improved at shortstop getting Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. They definitely improved that. Kiner-Falefa is a good defensive shortstop. He's speedy. So I kind of like that aspect of the Yankees, and he's kind of a contact hitter. He's not a power hitter. He's not even an average hitter. Maybe we could get him to be an average hitter, but I kind of like the fact that he can steal, and it kind of puts some pressure on the defense and just helping. We have a couple of ground ball pitchers, so shoring up third base and shortstop is going to help a lot. We and did improve.
Not to be a Debbie Downer, but Kiner-Falefa won his Gold Glove at third base, and his season at second or shortstop last year, his outs above average was like ranked like 30th out of 36 shortstops.
Yeah.
So it wasn't good, but his defensive runs saved were third amongst qualifying shortstop.
Yeah.
So it, the defensive metrics are always a little bit wonky, so it's tough to tell. He is definitely better than Glaber, and he's probably better than Gio was at short. So it's an upgrade. And his sprint speed is only 70th percentile. So he's not super fast, but he, again, much faster than Glaber, much
faster than Gio. He's a good base runner, though. He's a good base runner, though.
Yes.
Like, he just doesn't get caught stealing. Like, I know speed isn't everything, but he is a smart base runner. But yeah, I showed you Josh Donaldson's Baseball Savant page, and it's, you know, red in the areas that you want to see it. You know, like average exit velocity, max exit velocity, hard hit percent. Like, the dude can still rake even at, what, 36 years old? He can hit.
Yeah, it's and just he had a 827 OPS last year, 127 OPS plus. So his bat is still... it's still very much so there. And the injury concerns are a little bit overinflated. A, he played more games in the last 3 years than Gio did. B, he played 155 games in 2019. C, 135 last year, which, considering how many rest days players get and his age, that's like, that's not injury prone. 135 games is most of the season. That's missing less than 20 games or less than 30 games. And then and then he may play 28 games in 2020, but that was a COVID season. I don't really take much stock into that, because that means he missed 32 games. He could have played most of the season if it wasn't shortened. So, yeah, it's it's tough to – in 2018, he was hurt as well. But the rest of his career, he's been pretty healthy. So we'll see. If he stays healthy, I think he could definitely be a really big part of the team.
Yeah.
But given his age, that's definitely
he was my issue with the trade. It was just a head scratcher, just because I was just like, well, you're giving up Gio and Gary. So now we have a black hole at catcher instead of now shortstop, which, you know, at that point I still wasn't convinced Donaldson and Isaiah Kiner-Falefa was an upgrade, but I think I have turned that corner. They are an upgrade, but I was just like, it just didn't feel right. And then it's also, I was worried about how it's going to affect the clubhouse, because obviously Cole and Donaldson had some beef Right, famously. I remember going to a Twins game booing Donaldson. You know, Yankees fans don't like Donaldson. And, you know, I'm sure Gio and Gary was well-liked in the clubhouse. So you kind of have to figure how does that kind of affect them. I know that's kind of intangibles, but, you know, I do think that plays a role a little bit, right?
Yeah, and there were press conferences today about that. Cole and Donaldson both spoke about it. They said that it's basically water under the bridge. There are two professionals that just want to win a World Series, so they're not going to let let this prevent them from winning a World Series. Like they've been in the league too long to let that affect it. So, but Donaldson's a very fiery player. He's a very passionate player, so that could help the team. And yeah, so I mean, other than the money, I like the Donaldson piece.
Yeah.
It's just the money makes it a little tough, especially because now we all know that Cashman and Hal are going to use that as an excuse to not sign any big free agents. They're going to say they use their money on the trade. So it's frustration. But I wanted to go back really quick to Kiner Falefa and Gio Urshela comparison. So Kiner Falefa has a sprint speed of 75, the 75th percentile. To give that into perspective, Gio was at 24th percentile. So much, much slower. And let me just look up Glaber really quick just to get a comprehensive comparison. Glaber's was 50th. So much faster than both of them. But his Kiner Falefa's offensive baseball savant is very, very gross to look at. It's pretty much all bottom 10th percentile and things like average exit velocity, hard hit percentage, barrel percentage. And then his whiff and K percentage are both 95th percentile with his walk percentage at the first percentile. So he strikes out a lot, does not hit home runs, does not walk, does not hit extra base hits. He basically just hits singles. So it's, we're in for a treat with him.
Yeah, his value relies solely on his defense. So if his defense takes a step back, you're not getting a good player.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So that's the risk. And he is just a stopgap. I mean, hopefully Peraza's, if he's not traded, hopefully Peraza's ready this year and contributes, because we're going to need offense at some point out of the shortstop. We can't have the shortstop and the catcher position both be offensive black holes. Like that, we're not going to win a World Series like that.
Yeah. So talking about catcher. So in this whole thing, we got rid of Gary Sanchez, and then we got the new catcher from the Twins. Do you mind going back to the Google Doc? I have a scouting report on it's that first link. I just wanted to read you what it says. So the guy is a lefty. I know, you know, he's in Yankee Stadium. And the guy, if you've seen pictures of him, the dude is ripped, but he does not hit at all. Ryan, you want to just read just some of these things and just tell us the overall scouting report?
Let's see. I'll just read the overall. So his overall scouting report says work vet's defense gives him a solid base of skills to work with as a potential future major league backstop. He has the strength for more power than he's hit for in the minors and has the contact ability to get to it. Along with a solid approach and good pitch recognition. His current swing just doesn't produce much power, and he lacks bat speed and overswing at times. He seems like a better bet to be a high contact bat with good defensive skills, which is a good base for a major league backup catcher. If he ever gets to more power, he could play a bigger role.
So right now they have him as a bench player, a backup.
Yeah.
So not great. His calling card is that he's a good framer, good receiver, and like he came from the Twins, which is where the Yankees catching coach came from, so I'm sure the Yankees had some tidbit about him. I'm sure the Yankees are thinking maybe they could tweak his swing, you know, take advantage that he's a lefty. Maybe he'll grow into his pop. But, like, right now the players – and they have him for 6 years of control, so they have him for a while. But he's a work in process. Like, he's not going to come out immediately and hit or just, like, we're getting him for his defense. And I think the Yankees are prioritizing catcher defense over anything else. Because you're going to have to do – you're going to have to platoon him and Higgy.
Yeah. And it's frustrating because there's prioritizing defense and having a major league starting catcher.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Higgy and Borgvet are both backup catchers. Neither mm-hmm. of them should be the everyday starting catcher.
Yeah.
But it seems like that's what the route we're going to go down. And it's okay. There's just a lot of question marks.
Higgy's not a good hitter. He's better at defense than Gary, but his defense isn't that good either. He can't throw. Like, he doesn't have the arm. So it's like, I get it. He's a good, you know, he's a good receiver. He calls a good game, but he can't throw a player out. So if you're in a playoff game, a one-game playoff game, opposing teams can take advantage of that. You know, get on base, steal second. You know, he's not going to throw you out. You're not worried about that. If you have decent speed, you're running on him.
Yeah, it's the team's in a weird spot right now. So I think we should go through what the team currently looks like, what the lineup currently looks like, and then off that we can talk about some more moves that could be made, maybe some things that we think might happen.
Before we get started, so Isaiah Kiner-Falefa was traded to the Twins. If the Yankees wanted him badly, they could have had him from the Rangers. The Twins didn't give up that much to begin with, right?
I think what happened was that they were trying to trade Gary for Kiner-Falefa, and the mm-hmm. Twins just didn't want him because the Twins traded him for – or got him for Mitch Garver. So
mm-hmm.
it seems like it would make sense that the Yankees were trying to trade Gary for him, and it just wasn't going on. They didn't want him. Like, that's my mm-hmm. theory.
Yeah. I mean, this was there. So there's been rumors that the Yankees were going to go with a stopgap, and I've always been saying it's going to be Simmons. But the next, you know, likely option was Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. So once Simmons was off the board, your eyes kind of turned to him, and then the Yankees didn't get him. So that kind of played into rumors that, well, maybe the Yankees might get Correa. It's just, I think there was better plays that you could have made than just this trade. I think this trade makes them better, but there was other moves they could have done with the money that they had to make them even better.
I mean, they could have signed Carlos Correa for $5 to $6 million more a year than they signed Josh Donaldson for.
And I think that makes them a better, I think that makes them a better team than Donaldson and Isaiah Kiner-Falefa.
Yeah, well, I mean, 100%. It's mm-hmm. yeah. So the team right now, catcher is going to be Higgy and Rortvedt at least right now. Mm-hmm. First base is either going to be Voit or DJ. I mm-hmm. think Boone said today that Voit's the starting first baseman right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Second base, I'd imagine it's going to be Glaber. Shortstop, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. Third base, Donaldson. So that leaves DJ as an odd man out, but maybe he just assumes that super utility to give guys days off every day mm-hmm. and that he was going to be in 2019. Yeah. And then the outfield is Gallo, Hicks, and Judge with Stanton as DH. Nothing really changed there. So
I think in a playoff game, depending on how Hicks improves, I could definitely see them doing Gallo, Judge, Stanton.
Yeah.
And have Voit DH and then put DJ at first base if it's a, you know, one game playoff game, or, you know, just to get their best hitters in the lineup, they can make it work. But I think this is probably going to be the lineup they go to for the most part.
Yeah, and that's not great. So we definitely want some more stuff to happen, because if we go out there and this is our team, I mean, the offseason's a failure. There's no
ifs,
ands, or buts about it.
It feels like there is a part two for both teams. Let's look at this from the Twins' perspective for a second. So the Twins, 48 hours ago, had Mitch Garver and they had Josh Donaldson. They've now gone to Gary Sanchez and Gio. I think that makes them worse. But now they have money to play with. They saved money by getting rid of Donaldson. So now you have to figure they're in on Story, right? Like, that has to be their end goal.
That's what makes the most sense.
Yeah.
But it's like, why?
Yeah. But if they can't afford it, for whatever reason they can't afford it, but they got under the contract and now they're hopefully in play for Story, which I think does make them better, getting maybe... I don't even know if that makes them better than the team that they had originally, but
And today, Cashman said today that the Steinbrenner family has already spent enough money, and that he said other things like, oh, we might still like go out and try and get some guys, but like to say that when you know your entire fan base is pissed off at you for not signing yet again, not signing a single one of the big free agents or trading for any of the big guys. Mm-hmm. Like, this has been the case every single offseason except getting Gerrit Cole. And I guess you could say trading for Stanton, but like,
yeah,
Harper, it seems, Machado,
yeah,
Wheeler, who was the Nationals pitcher that I'm now blanking on? It doesn't matter. No.
Patrick Corbin?
Yeah, Patrick Corbin. Like, some of those, it was obviously worked out for us that we didn't sign them, but, like, it's been, like, almost every offseason they just don't go after anyone. And then, like, what was the point of resetting the tax last year? To literally not go after a single big player in the offseason.
Yeah, I was just kind of baffled just because it was like, well, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa was out there for the taking. You know, maybe if they couldn't trade Gary, they definitely had something to get Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, right? And then they could have used the money that they would have gotten for Donaldson and just got a pitcher in Carlos Rodon. They didn't sign him. He signed a two-year, $22 million. $22 per year. Yep. But he has an opt out, right?
Yeah, I believe that's the contract. Yeah.
They wouldn't give him an extra year, which kind of what I was just like, so you would get I really am concerned about Donaldson's injury history. I know you kind of went through it and you're saying like he's played more games than Gio. It's just the age, you know?
Yeah.
It's the age. And, the fact that you would do that for Donaldson, 2 years position player, but you wouldn't do that for Rodon when you need a second starter after Cole, really disappointing. Yeah.
And it's also at Donaldson's best at this point in his career, he's just going to be like a really good hitter, but you can find an 800 OPS player. And I don't know, maybe someone like Correa, Trevor Story, Freddie Freeman, Matt Olson, Anthony Rizzo, like, all of these players, Michael Conforto, like, you can find that bat in so many other ways. But at Rodon's best, he's going to be up there in ERA, strikeouts. He's going to be a player that could be an ace for so many teams, and he'll be your number two to Gerrit Cole. And that's less money than Donaldson, and he's younger.
$22 million a year is a steal for a guy that could be a top of the rotation guy.
Yeah.
Like that's, you shouldn't be nickel and diming him for that. Also, it was 2 years. He wasn't asking for like a 5-year contract, 6-year contract. It was 2 years.
Yeah. You're paying Josh Donaldson $6 million more for 2 years. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make any sense at all. And now they're just going to be like, oh, we don't have any money left to make any if big
this
signings.
Is where they, if this is the end of it, right? Because we totally expect there to be, when this happened, we totally expect there to be a trade right after maybe an Olsen and a pitcher, or maybe a Murphy and a pitcher. Right now, Olsen's no longer in play anymore. He got traded to the Braves, which, can we talk about that for a second? What? The Braves.
I'm shocked that they traded for Olsen before Freddie Freeman signed somewhere.
It's same. I think they did get better. I think Olsen is a better player than Freeman.
I don't think he is.
You don't think so?
I think he can be in the future, but Freddie Freeman is the past right now, 3 years is undoubtedly the better player.
Okay.
But Freddie Freeman won an MVP.
Yeah. It's just shocking that they just let Freeman go, face of your franchise. And it was like, ooh.
Right after he wins the World Series.
Yeah. Alex Anthopoulos was crying when he announced it. He was like getting choked up, you know. And it's, I bet a lot of Braves fans feel the same way. I think they got a good player. They should feel happy, but it's like it's the same thing with this trade where it's like bittersweet, you know, like maybe they got better, but it's just like the emotional ties to a player you get, you know.
Yeah, and I think it'd be comparable if we win the World Series this year and then in Aaron Judge's free agency we don't re-sign him and we get another really good right fielder.
I'm blanking on
I'm thinking Teoscar Hernandez and Mookie Betts, but like, let's say Teoscar Hernandez has another really good year and we trade for Teoscar Hernandez instead of re-signing Aaron Judge. Like, one could argue that that'd be like, could set us up better for the future, but like, and that's not really that good of a comparison, but just still, if we didn't re-sign Aaron Judge and traded for another player instead, like that would hurt a lot.
Yeah.
And yeah, it sucks for them. I think what happened is the A's were probably like, are we going to do this trade? Like, we're going to trade him somewhere else if you're not going to do this. But then Freddie Freeman was like, I'm not sure. Like, I don't know if I want to sign yet. So they were just like, we got to do something, because if Olsen gets traded somewhere else and then Freeman signs somewhere else, they're kind of just screwed. So I think they knew they probably weren't going to get Freddie.
Yeah, it seemed like the people that were in on Olsen, I know they were saying like the Guardians were in on Olsen last minute, but it seemed like it was going to come down to the Yankees or Braves. I really did think Freeman was going to go to the Dodgers at that point. Yeah. And the offer that the Braves gave was crazy, by the way. So I don't think... Yeah. The Yankees could have matched it. I think the Dodgers and Braves had more in their tank to like more in their chamber to pull off a trade like that.
So I don't agree with like, they didn't, I don't necessarily know if they have more in their farm. They were willing to give more. Like the Yankees could have beat their offer if they traded Anthony Volpe, but like Anthony Volpe is almost as valuable if you look at those like value websites as the entire package that the A's gave or the Braves gave. Mm-hmm. Like Christian Pache is just plummeting in value because he just can't hit. And so they gave good prospects. The Yankees could have beat it, but the Yankees weren't willing to trade Volpe and they were probably reluctant to trade Peraza. Because that now they've kind of pigeonholed themselves into they need somebody that's going to be ready like in the next year. And I don't know if they think Volpe will be ready in the next year. So if they trade Peraza, then you're stuck with Kiner Falefa until at least next season. So, yeah, I just seeing what the Braves traded, I understand why we didn't.
Yeah,
why we didn't trade for Olson.
But it still just makes it upsetting. Then is that we could have just got Freeman instead of, you know, Donaldson. Like, there was better moves to be made than this trade. Like, it didn't need to be made. I obviously, it looks like the Yankees are over the luxury tax bill by a million because of this Donaldson trade, though. So it's like, if you're going to go over, get the better player.
Yeah. And now, so from here, the most obvious and best choice would to be give whatever you have to give to get Freddie Freeman on the team.
Mm-hmm.
But we all know they're not going to do that. Now there's rumors that Freddie Freeman is going to go to the Blue Jays. If Freddie Freeman goes to the Blue Jays, we sign Anthony Rizzo, who, by the way, can't play when we play the Blue Jays because he won't get vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's such a big loss for us because that makes the Blue Jays, who are already a better team than we are right now, that just makes them even better. Right now, yeah. If we don't make any moves, you think we're better than the Blue Jays with the current rosters right now if they get Freddie Freeman?
Oh, if they get Freddie Freeman, no.
That's what I said. I said if they add Freddie Freeman.
Oh, I thought you were saying, like, without Freddie Freeman, you think they're a better team and they're adding Freddie Freeman now, it makes the gap further. Okay, I misinterpreted.
Okay, well, even still, I think even still without Freddie Freeman, I think their current roster is better than our current roster.
Really, I think I disagree with you there. I think we have the better roster. I think they have more potential. It's just that they lost Ray, they lost Simeon, and they added
Kevin Gausman
and Kikuchi.
And a full year of Berrios, and they have presumably a full year of George Springer.
Yeah, I forgot about
they didn't have George Springer like at all last year.
Yeah.
So
I still think regression, and then the Yankees just bounce back. I still think the Yankees are a better team, but that's probably just my bias. But it is close. Like, once again, the top four teams are right there. You know, it's like any bad stretch, any bad luck that happens, I could see one of those teams in first.
Yeah, and I think it's with the Blue Jays and the Yankees, it's kind of like, if you just go off based off what happened last year, I think the current Blue Jays are better. Mm-hmm. However, it's not unreasonable to expect some of their players to do a little bit worse because, like, Vladdy had a ridiculous year. And some of their players just, like, played extremely well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't expect them to just become bad players or anything. But, like, our players played much worse than their averages are. So, like, it is baseball. Like, our players could have just gotten worse. Yeah. And the Blue Jays players could just be reaching their full potential. But it's also very possible that regret happens to the Blue Jays and the Yankees players get better.
Yeah, I guess if you go by, like, if it's kind of like, if you expect a player to keep on performing and then you're like, oh, he got better last year, you expect him to get a little bit better this year, then yeah, for sure. If you're expecting that, I think, yeah, the Blue Jays do overtake the Yankees. I could see that. You're saying, like, Vlad could still get better, you know,
Bichette, or even if they all played as good as they did last year.
Yeah. Okay.
Which, to expect Vlad to be over a 1.0 OPS every single year is a little ridiculous. He's capable of it, but that's something that you rarely ever see. So it's kind of absurd to expect him to do that when he's only done it once.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they're close right now. I think if we add Freddie Freeman, we're the better team.
Mm-hmm.
If they add Freddie Freeman, they're the better team. Like, then, like, Anthony Rizzo. So yeah, to keep going, if we don't sign Freddie Freeman, which it's starting a lot to look like we aren't going to sign Freddie Freeman, then it's most likely that we go Anthony Rizzo.
And then what does that do with Voit then?
He has to be traded.
Yeah.
And so if we sign Anthony Rizzo, obviously Anthony Rizzo is a good player. Like that's a good first base.
Rizzo, are we convinced Rizzo's better than Voit?
Yes.
You are? Like much more better than Voit, and the fact that he won't play against the Blue Jays. Voit is vaccinated, right? Correct? Or is that
I don't know.
So I like Rizzo. I'm just, you're gonna lose him against the Blue Jays if you play against the Blue Jays.
Yeah, which is tough. Yeah, and Rizzo, Voit actually provides a negative value defensively. And Rizzo's an extremely good defender. At first base, that's a very valuable thing to have.
Yeah.
And on top of that, Voit's probably a slightly better hitter, but Rizzo's a lefty and is still a good hitter and doesn't strike out a lot.
Yeah.
So I would 100% take Rizzo over Voit.
Mm-hmm.
However, going into the season with Voit, if he stays healthy, like he's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very good player, especially a hitter. But however, with his terrible defense, I think he would be very attractive as a DH.
Yeah, a National League team could definitely scoop him up for a reliever or someone, and they would make their team instantly better with Voit.
Yeah, or you try and trade him to the Cubs and get Contreras somehow, which would also help the team. So let's go with the assumption that we don't get Freddie and we get Anthony Rizzo.
Okay.
So now we have Voit in a bad position. Glaber's or DJ still super utility. We don't have a catcher.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we still could use another starter. So my thought of where to go next, obviously trade Voit. I think that's your first step. Get Voit to a National League team or anyone that needs a DH and try and get either a starting pitcher from them or a catcher. I think those are I guess reliever, but like any of those three, get a pitcher or a catcher.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you can package him with some prospects to get someone like Contreras or a good starter.
You're not going to trade him straight up for a pitcher. You can't. He doesn't give you the value. He doesn't give you a value of a starter or a catcher. Yeah. But if you package him with prospects, maybe you could get a starter, a decent starter. I know, so we kind of joked about this offline, but the Reds are having a fire sale and they've got, robbed on two trades now. They got robbed by the Twins with Sonny Gray. And then they, maybe an hour ago, traded Jesse Winker and Eugenio Suarez for nothing. And that's just a bad trade. It was a salary dump all the way. And they just look crazy doing that.
Yeah, it definitely seems like they're doing a fire sale right now, which has Yankees Twitter talking about trading for Luis Castillo and Joey Votto.
Before we got on this, we were talking about Joey Votto. Actually, I was looking at his stats. Actually does make sense, but I don't think he's going to waive his no trade clause. Like that. There's no way he waives it to leave Cincinnati. He stayed there for so long. I don't see him doing that. And the way trades with the Yankees work, they don't take bad deals they ask for Volpe. They're not going to ask for anything less than that from the Yankees in all these trades. So we're not getting Castillo for cheap.
Yep, I agree. I don't really want Votto. Like, I know he's decent, but I just don't think it's worth it. It's another Josh Donaldson risky situation. Mm-hmm. Luis Castillo would be awesome, but like you said, it'll probably take Volpe, Dominguez, Peraza, or even I remember last time we tried to trade for them, they wanted Glaber. But that brings me to my next point, where if you're able to trade Voit to a National League team and get something of value back, like, you come to the situation where, like, do we want to try and trade Glaber for a really good pitcher? Because that allows DJ to play everyday second base, which is his Gold Glove position. And as tough as it would be to see Glaber go, you could probably get something pretty good back for him. And
yeah, I really think he's going to have a bounce back season. I know.
I do too.
It's just tough to even say that. Like, I get it. I get the logic behind it, but I just think he's going to have a really bounce back season, and it would have to be for a stud pitcher if you're giving up Glaber for me. Like, it has to, like, really make your rotation really, really, really good.
Yeah. So Glaber. My only situation where I would be okay with trading Glaber, I think, would be if we were to trade him to the A's for Sean Murphy and Montas. Obviously, there's going to be more than just Glaber to that trade. But if we were to get a really good pitcher and a catcher, I think I'd be okay with it. Otherwise, I don't think it's worth selling Glaber at this low point, because, like you said, I think he's going to have a bounce back year with a new hitting coach. Like, we still don't know what this new hitting coach is going to do. He could turn the team into a much better hitting team with what it currently is. Like, we have to remember, Aaron Judge is Aaron Judge. Stanton is Stanton. Like, those are two extremely reliable, really good hitters. Joey Gallo, under a new hitting coach, could just go back to 40, 50 home runs. And
So Joey Gallo is, the year he had with us, the second half was terrible. We can't argue that. He was very, very bad. But I think that's the worst you're going to see of him. I think I know he's never going to be a 300 hitter. He's probably never going to be a 250 hitter. But he walks and he gets home runs, and he plays Gold Glove defense in the outfield. You can't really complain too much about that. I mean, I guess people will complain about that. But, you know, you could do much worse than that, I guess you could say. So I'm not really worried about Gallo. And then kind of just before we go further, just your trade proposal, it would be Murphy at catcher, Rizzo at first base, DJ at second base, Isaiah kind of fell off at shortstop, and then Donaldson at third, right? That's kind of your thinking. And then we kind of shore up our rotation with Cole, and then you get a Montas. And that's a pretty good, you know, 1-2. And then you kind of fill it with Tyone. Sevy's coming back. You have Heal, Monty, and then Herman is going to start the year on the IL. But
a starting five of Garrett Cole, Frankie Montas, Luis Severino, Jordan Montgomery, and Jameson Taillon, that's a very good starting five.
It is.
So, like, if we're able to trade for a top flight pitcher that has 1-2 potential, like, our rotation is set. So, I think we need to trade for Montas or Manaea from the A's, like, or Luis Castillo. Whoever is going to give us a fair trade, like, that needs to be priority number two, with priority number one being getting Freddie Freeman.
Yeah. One, Freddie Freeman will help us, obviously, but it's also to block him going to the Blue Jays. Yeah, because you can't afford that. That's a double whammy right there. It's like, which you miss out on him, and then it makes them better.
That gives me a little faith, because Cashman and Howe love to block our rivals from getting players. Like, we weren't in on Rizzo at all, but the Red Sox wanted him, so we got Rizzo.
Yeah.
Like, if the Blue Jays are making a serious effort at Freeman, that might actually make Cashman be like, okay, we can't let this happen, so let's actually put our big boy pants on and spend some money.
So do you think that's a rumor spread by Freeman's camp to kind of get the Yankees to up their offer? Because the Blue Jays were, this came last minute. The whole time we've been hearing three teams. It was Braves, Dodgers, Yankees, and it was between Braves or Dodgers for the longest time.
Yep.
And in fact, he was supposed to sign 3 days ago, if reports were true, it said within 24 hours, and that was what, 3 days ago?
Yeah.
That we saw that. So nothing's really happened. So like, these are just rumors. There's nothing official yet, but you know, they are saying he's going to go to the Blue Jays, and that would really suck if that happened.
Yeah, that would be one of the worst outcomes possible.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so, oh man, there's still so much that can happen.
Yeah, it's so we could either be very disappointed, very happy. There's no way to feel about this until the offseason's complete. Right now, the grade is incomplete because if left as is, they have a failing offseason.
Yeah.
But if they go out there and get Murphy and a pitcher, that's a great offseason right there. If they get Freeman and then also do that A's trade, that's a great offseason. That's an A-plus for me. Like, you improve. Yeah.
I want to say
first base, you got lefty, you got a shortstop that can actually defend. I think you got better at third base and you shored up the pitching rotation. That's a really good offseason.
Yeah, it's just going to come down to what moves they make. I don't have much faith because there's really no reason for us to based on the last 4 or 5 years. But they're the Yankees, so...
Have you seen the Mets moves? The Mets made a trade with the A's. They got a pitcher, a really good pitcher, in fact. They got Chris Bassett.
Yeah, but we're the Yankees, and people don't like trading with us.
Yeah. It was... Yeah.
It's just every single time there's a, big free agent or a trade that we want, it's like they always want our top prospect or whoever our best young players. It was Glaber until Volpe and Dominguez came. And now it's a Volpe and Dominguez. Yeah. And it's like, you see the Mets literally traded just normal prospects.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't the Mets' top prospects, but they got Chris Bassett. But if we try and get Frankie Montas, it's Volpe or nothing. It's just ridiculous. And but there's a lot of time left. A lot of stuff can still be done.
Yeah, we still haven't signed Gardner yet, so there's still a lot of time left. Which is crazy. We've signed Tim LoCastro, which was,
I think he's the Guardy replacement.
That's what I think so too. But he was a fan favorite. I really like him. So he had that injury against the Red Sox, tore his ACL. He should be healthy to start the season. So that's all good. But I think him as a outfield backup, that's a good move. I like that move.
Yeah. I mean, I like signing him. And it's...
I like speed, man. You know, like it really does bring another element to the Yankees. You know, remember when they had, you know, like when they were winning all of a sudden and they were just stealing bases, it made the team more fun and it added a new dimension to them. You know, it was always home run or bust, but you know, now you could get a single, steal a base, kind of get the defense like on their toes. Like, I like that.
Yeah. And it's, I'm getting to, like, if this offseason ends up as a failure, I pray that Cashman is fired or like isn't renewed at the end of the season, because I'm pretty sure this is the last season of his contract. But I think we all know, as long as Hal Steinbrenner is the owner, he's just going to keep Cashman. And it's just frustrating because like Cashman has made really good trades and he's made some good signings, but he is given year after year one of the biggest budgets in baseball, and we've come close to making the World Series once, or I guess twice, but in 2017 and 2019. But like, we haven't made it to the World Series since 2009. That's just pitiful with the fact that he has such a large budget every year.
And it seems like he made the wrong, like there was moves to be made in those years that could have pushed the Yankees over the top.
Yeah.
You know, getting Verlander, getting, like, there were moves to be made that could have pushed them over the top. They just didn't do it. They stood by at the deadline and did nothing. The last year was the first time they actually did something.
Yeah, like traded for Cole back in the Pittsburgh days and gave up Andujar and stuff. Yeah. Like, like you said, there's moves that could have been made. We could have signed Harper. We could have, like, so many things that we could have done.
I remember I said this before. It was signing Brantley and Charlie Morton. They could have done that in the offseason, and that would have made them better. And they killed it on the Rays and Astros.
Yeah, it's just failure after failure after failure. Like, the team, a lot of the moves in a black hole are good. But the way, if you look at the team from last year, how it was constructed, that's just not a World Series team.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of players that are the same type of player.
Yeah. It's just weird to me where when they got bounced in the wild card team, there was like, changes need to be made, right? Like, that was, am I going crazy? Like, they did say that, right?
Yep. They said shortstop was their main concern. And then they just don't sign. You literally have the best shortstop class like ever. And they didn't sign a single one of them.
Yeah.
They didn't even really make that much of an effort to sign any of them. They're just content with waiting for their prospects, which, like, if you really believe in Volpe, okay. Yeah. But, like, you're selling the prime of our best players to wait for this kid.
Yeah. It's nice to have prospects. But it's exactly what you're saying. You're wasting the primes of players that could win right now. We're in a win now mode. So you better hit. Like, I think these guys will be good, but they have to be good now. Because if they don't, you look foolish. Like, if he hung on to Andujar for so long, Andujar is still on our roster, by the way. What are we going to do with Andujar? We could have gotten him for Cole. He was... could have been potential. They didn't want to give him up. That would have pushed you over the top. And
we also haven't had a prospect like Volpe since Glaber.
Yeah.
Like, Glaber's the only prospect in the last however many years that's comparable to Volpe, and Volpe looks better than Glaber did.
Yeah.
So Volpe is not Andar. Volpe is not Clint Frazier. Like, they're more of like Peraza, which Peraza could be really good, but he could also come up to the MLB and just flame out. But like, Volpe's expected to come up and do well. It's just, you're like, I don't understand why Cashman's not thinking about, okay, let's sign Story. He'll play shortstop until one of them is ready. And then once they're ready, just move him. Like, just move him to center field, or get Correa and move Correa to third, or move Volpe to third.
And also, lost in the middle of all this, as this trade was going on, I know this was just rumors, but there was talks about how Correa switched agencies. He switched to Boris. So if he were to sign a big money deal, Boris wouldn't be the one collecting the money. So maybe there was talks, maybe he signs a one-year deal, maybe, you know, an opt-out after 1 year, and then he retries. So, you know, Boris can have a full offseason and kind of get him that money. Because it doesn't look like he's going to get that $300 million contract that he wants. It just doesn't seem like he's going to get it. So it was like, well, maybe he signs that one-year deal, or maybe he signs like an opt-out, and then he goes back to free agency market. And then the Yankees made this trade. So it was just like, well, okay.
If Correa's going to sign a one-year deal, I'll take Correa on a
one. Yeah.
I don't care. Give him like $50 million.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there's your stopgap. That's the best possible stopgap you could have.
Yeah.
But like, they're not going to sign Correa. They're not going to sign Story. They obviously didn't sign Baez or Seager or Semien. Like,
Seager was the guy that was on my list just because lefty, but
Yeah. And I thought there was no chance going into this offseason that we wouldn't sign any of them.
Oh, yeah. We were banking on them signing one of the plethora of shortstops.
Yeah. It's just so frustrating. And I don't see a world where they sign Correa or Story now because, like, what?
Yeah, now, the move that, yeah. Now they kind of logjam, they kind of force themselves into a box. Like, it's in a vacuum. It's a good trade. But there were other moves that could have made them better.
Yeah. Why and not wait until Correa or Seager or Story sign? Like,
yeah.
It's not like they were going to, the Twins were just going to trade Isaiah Kiner for Falefa. Like, it just, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And now we're going to get Anthony Rizzo, maybe, if we're lucky. And that's going to be it. And they're going to go into the season and be like, we really believe in the team that we have right now. We think that a lot of guys are going to rebound. They had down years last year. We have faith in them.
I mean, you and have we're going to run the same that.
Thing. Yeah. We're going to win 92 games. We're going to make the wild card. We might win that, and then we'll lose in the ALDS.
Yeah.
Like, it's just – Hal Steinbrenner only cares about making a profit. He cares about – winning enough games to get the team to the playoffs, and then he's happy. Yeah, he just wants them to make the playoffs so fans go.
There's no urgency with this team, with the front office. Like, it just doesn't, like, obviously this whole, we didn't get a move until yesterday. That was their first move. I mean, sure, they signed, you know, a bench guy, and they signed, you know, Tim LaCastro, but this was their first move, and it's just, it was a head scratcher, you know. It just, I don't know. It's like you look at it, you like it, but then you're also like, you're like, oh, why they made this move? Like, it's just so, it's complex. It's just, yeah. I really don't know what to make of this trade.
Okay, sorry, I have to bring something up after. But never mind. They said it's just not okay. But yeah, we really just need to wait and see what happens, because if they don't do anything, it's just, fans are gonna go to games if they're in playoff contention. That's just how it's gonna go. And like, after 2017, they built up the fan base again and people started going to games a lot. And now they just don't care. Like, they're like, oh, let's sign a big guy every 3 or 4 years just to kind of keep people roped in and just barely make the playoffs every year. Like, we've won the AL East like less than 3 or 4 times probably since 2009.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. Considering we probably spent more money than every other team. How many years is that? 13 minus, years? 12 out of those Dodgers? 13 years? No, in the AL East.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, it's frustrating.
Yeah, there's
and it's something even more... Sorry, what?
It's just there's something wrong with the roster configuration. The fact that you can't win the division with the resources you have and the way they just built the roster. Like you said, we just have so many redundant players and it just seems like they just can't get out of their way. You know, it's like, it's just crazy.
Yeah. Something funny is that the Rockies are aggressively pursuing Chris Bryant. I don't understand that organization at all. It makes no sense.
They're equally as confusing as, you know, anything this trade is. Like, they're
Rockies far just, more confusing.
the Rockies are in their own world and we're just living in it, you know?
Like, yeah, like, what it, they let John, they didn't even give John Gray a qualifying offer.
No, they let him go. They didn't trade him, didn't give him a qualifying offer. That makes no sense. Yeah, that's right.
Like, they don't seem to be pursuing him. Now they're going to sign Chris Bryant. Like, why? What? Why on earth would you do that? Unless you're trying to flip him at the deadline, but that just seems dumb.
Yeah. And then you got Alex Colomé, which he's a good I he's I don't know. He was terrible last year, but he doesn't fit with the Rockies the way he pitches. Like, it's a disaster move waiting to happen, but they signed him anyways. They signed Jose Iglesias, which, you know, took them out of the running for a story, which, you know, we could have guessed that. But it, then now they're pivoting to Chris Bryant for some reason. So it's like, what? Why didn't you just get Story? It makes no sense. Maybe they just
want a big name player to try and sell tickets.
Maybe. You know, a better big name player? Story. People already like him. He already built up a fan base.
I don't understand that organization at all.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's where things are at.
So let's just recap. Entire offseason, we have who's in the free agency market. Verlander, Scherzer, Rodon, Gausman, Ray. Guys that could have, you know, you could have put as your number two. All those guys. Signed none of them. Shortstop. That was our biggest weakness. Everyone knew it. Shortstop was our weakness. You have Seager, Correa, Story, Baez, even Simmons, although I never really wanted him. Simeon. Yeah, yeah. I was thinking of, but like they signed none of them, okay? And then you're like, okay, well, what else is there? They just botched it on every level. It's like if they were going to go over the luxury tax, they should have done it this offseason. Especially that's what everyone's expectation was, the fact that they went under the luxury tax last year. We thought this was the reason why they did it, was to go over it.
The last time they did, they signed Cole after. Like, it it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
I don't know why you go under it to not make any big moves. But maybe they shocked the world and signed Freddie Freeman. Is there they've said to have sent an offer to him, so they're actually trying to get him. But who knows?
We don't know what the offer. Yeah, we don't know what the offer is. We just heard an offer is made. It could have been, you know, something that he would laugh at and then be like, "Oh, we gave him an offer."
Yeah, but we tried. Whoa.
Yeah, so we'll see. Like I said, it's incomplete, but there was just so many more moves that could have been made that would have made us better. And you just wish they would have made them. And I'm really wondering why they haven't. Well, I know why they haven't, but they should be doing it.
Yep. It's frustrating all around.
Yep.
But yeah, I think that's good for this episode. We plan on recording our first half of our top 10 positions tomorrow. So that's something to look forward to. Obviously, if a big move is made, we'll be there to record again. Hopefully a big move is made tomorrow and we are happy, but I'm not super optimistic anymore. This trade
went down at what, like 10:30? It's 9 as of recording. So hopefully, you know, there's another sneaky move that no one heard of that the Yankees are in the process of completing, but we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. All right, guys. So as always, if you enjoyed the podcast, please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcast. Spotify recently added their own rating. So it'd be super awesome if you guys could just leave a rating on the podcast. But and visit us on Twitter and Instagram at The Bronx Story. We would love to hear from you guys. Makes it more fun for us. We'll see you next time when we come at you with our top 10 or whenever there's a big move made. We should be getting our video episodes up pretty soon. I have a webcam coming in, so look forward to that. But as always, it's been fun. And I guess let's go Yanks.
Let's go Yankees. Let's play ball. Make a trade.
Yep. See you guys.
Bye.